So, what do you do now differently as a result of knowing the Enneagram?
You know, I think there is a, for me, some of it is about trying to slow down the process sometimes, whatever that process is, and try to listen a little better and try to understand from my, for me, like, okay, if I'm feeling that way so strongly, just what, why do I feel that way? Well, what's pushing me to feel so strongly about whatever it is that I want to do? You know, I one of the things that's a little different about being, you know, being in your 60s and having, you know, been in office, et cetera, and then being on the other side is you do gain a little different perspective. And you realize, oh man, some of those things that were tearing me up inside, like I get a little bit more where it's coming from.
So now you're not in office.
Right.
I know that you went to New Zealand pretty quick, but essentially, I mean, I was around when you were like moving out of the
Right.
mansion
Yeah, you were.
and getting rid of that dang security detail, which I happened to love
No kidding.
because we went to the Ryman one night and
Oh, yeah.
we had a car in front of us and a chase car behind us and instant access. Like, we didn't have to stand in one line, which was maybe the most glorious night of music in my life.
Yeah, Chrissy said it fed all the wrong parts of my, you know, need for let's get moving here. You know, so
That's great.
and I there's parts of you like being in office. Like I said, it's you're re 8 years is the right amount. Okay, I believe in term limits. And there's parts of you that I'm ready to go back and drive my own car and that, but. If you go to a concert or a game or something, you miss that being dropped off, you know, underneath the stadium or right at the back door to the Ryman or whatever it is. There's a sense, and people used to always complain about traffic in Nashville. I'm like, it's not bad. Just flip on those blue lights, pull into the median. Why are you complaining? And now I'm that person.
Oh man. Well, I'll tell you what. We almost abandoned our friendship once you didn't have that, but we decided that we liked you well enough that we're going to keep
I
you
have
around.
Learned who those folks who are who just you know I was a very convenient friend for a while.
But there is part of the reason I asked that is, the defense mechanism of threes is called identification, and what that means is threes have a tendency to over-identify who they are with the role that they
Yeah.
play. Right, so they confuse their true self with the oftentimes the false self of their job title.
Yeah.
Right, did you ever like find yourself saying to yourself or to Chrissy, I think I'm having trouble separating who I am from my job?
You know, we worked on that real hard, both Chrissy and me, and then group of guys that I met with on a regular basis in Nashville that were just friends, separate from being governor. So, worked on that, because I really didn't want to have that happen. And by the way, this is one of those offices that it lends itself to that. And I don't care what number you are. The problem you have in elected office is. You don't get a lot of good, thoughtful feedback. You have people screaming at you on Facebook or whatever it is that you're the worst thing ever, and then you have people, you're the answer to all of our problems, and neither are true. But you don't get much of that good, thoughtful, honest feedback about who you are when you're in elected office. And I talked to enough people who I knew and respected who had been out of office that said, you know. Don't be that way, because then when you leave, reentry is really tough.
Right. Yeah, because you could just fall off that cliff and then begin to ask yourself, well, now that I'm not governor, who am
Yeah,
I?
right. Because it's just kind of hard to, to describe. You're set apart. I mean, it's you live in a house behind a fence. That's you. Highway patrolmen are driving you everywhere. When you walk into a room, everybody stands up, and when you give a speech, they all clap and they laugh at your jokes. And we hit the epitome of it. I'm really not a hunter, but my son is, and we went duck hunting one time. And anybody who duck hunts know you're kind of everybody's crouched down in a blind and the ducks come, you kind of raise up and yeah, about six, sometimes we might have six guys shooting shotgun at the same time. Sometimes you know who hit it, but sometimes you don't. And I knew that I'd hit the epitome of that when, and I'm not, I mean, I have a better chance of throwing the gun and hitting the bird than I do shooting it. Okay, so I'm not a very good shot. And first time we raised up and shot, and I'm pretty sure mine wasn't even close. And I said, nice shot, Governor, when a bird fell out of the sky. So it was like, you kind of realize this is not a real world you live in.
Oh, man. Well, that, but I have to say that for a three that's not very self-aware, and I think it's probably clear to my audience right now that you are a self-aware and wise three, that's heaven on earth for that kind of three.
Yeah.
The three wants that kind of attention. They actually crave admiration.
Yeah.
And I would imagine in that office, man, that or if you were a movie star or if you were any kind of a public figure, that is intoxicating. Did you find it at times to be, whew, this is pretty great? Or was it mostly, I'm slightly uncomfortable with this?
You know, a little bit. The good and bad thing about being in office is there's enough hard stuff going on always. Issues you're dealing with, problems, you're getting beat up in the newspaper about something, that there's always something that kind of pulls you back into the, you know, the reality of being the governor. But having said that, there is a lot that lends itself to that. I mean, again, if that's your drug, or that's your alcohol, you're getting to visit the bar a lot.
Right. You know, I don't know if you can answer this, but I've spent a lot of time actually thinking to myself, you know, and it makes sense in the current environment, like how about politics and personality, right? And the interplay between the two of them. And I've oftentimes wondered, okay, well, what type is most drawn to politics or mm-hmm. to public service, right? Mm-hmm. And I think ones is one, mm-hmm. right? Because you have a lot of reformer types, ones. Mm-hmm. I suspect, complete speculation, right? So I have to be, that's my disclaimer. I think Hillary Clinton is a one.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
I think Elizabeth right. Warren is a one. You know, another public figure like Ralph Nader, I'm pretty sure, is a
probably.
One. But clearly a ton of threes.
Right.
I think. Right.
If you'd asked me that kind of offhand, I would have said, as I just kind of, again, mentally scanned people that I served with that I knew well, other governors particularly, I would have said, yeah, there's a whole lot of threes in there.
How do you think that affects things in government?
Here's the danger in government, and is this. It's a world that's a lot about perception.
Hmm.
Right. So in business, you know, you've got a profit and loss statement at the end of every month that tells you who's being effective. We're in a studio with guitars all over the wall, something. If you're an entertainer, you know, like song sold or it didn't. In government politics, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I can tell you governors that, you know, were very prominent and, you know, famous, got lots of attention, et cetera, that I don't think really ever did much in terms of leading and running their state and serving the people. That others who never got any attention at all, and I could give you their name and you'd say, who? You know, so it's a world where perception matters more than the reality in terms of how people see it. And so that's a dangerous place for a three to be, right? Because mm-hmm. they want to give off that perception of we're doing that, and then you learn how to do that successfully. And my bet is if you tested, there'd be a wildly disproportionate number of threes.
Hmm. Right, because the catchphrases we use about threes is that they're more concerned with seeming
right.
than being.
Yep.
And you know, I feel like, you know, part of the public's suspicion and at times full-blown disdain
right.
of people in public service and in government is precisely the seeming versus being problem.
I think that's, I mean, you know, there are a whole lot of great people at Servant Office. Totally. Way more than people think. But that seeming rather than being, or seeming rather than actually, being fruitful, whatever you want to call it, is real.
Yeah. So what's your, we've had a conversation about this. You've been thinking about a podcast. You've been writing a book, or kind of pushing away at it.
That's right.
with my encouragement. I'm sure people would be interested to know what needs to change. Where are we and what needs to change?
I think we're at a worrisome place. In this sense, it's hard to describe how much social media has changed politics.
Mm.
And I say that for several reasons. One, as much as you might not like what people call mainstream media, et cetera, there's one qualifying condition to that. There's an editor involved. And so when something gets said or written, there's somebody that's waiting and saying, Ian, before we publish that, are you sure that's right? And so that's one of the realities, is you've got a lot of information that people are consuming. Number two, remember, we all get to self-curate our own news now. So you get to choose where you get it. And confirmation bias is an incredibly real thing. When something's happening that I like in the news, I want to read more. Like, oh, where's another article that'll tell me that this is this that I already think is true? And so you start to add all that together, kind of this overwhelming social media presence with no editor, so there may or may not be truth to it. Number two, we get to choose where we get our news, and then combine that with the reality of we all want to hear what we think is true already. It's left us in some, I think, not good places. And I think the other thing I'd say is this about politics and government is, people forget all the time, like, this is real stuff. This really does impact people and families. And, the thought is, well, I'm a Republican because I think this about gun control, or I'm a Democrat because I think this about abortion, whatever the issue is. Underneath all that, in the state of Tennessee, if for a whole lot of people, we were their only source of, mental health resources, depending on your income level. Mm-hmm. We're the folks that if you're going to drive across a road, we're paving it. If you're in a prison, you're in one of ours. If you're going to school, most folks are going to one of our public schools. If you have a child who's disabled, we're probably the ones you're relying on. I can keep going, but my point is all this really matters. I mean, for people of a certain income level, like, all I really need is my driver's license and my kid to have a decent public school. For a lot of people, they need government to work beyond that. Mm. And I think we've kind of lost this idea of, government's about providing services that we can't buy for ourselves. Bill Gates cannot buy his own interstate system, okay? Most people can't buy their own education, and I can keep going. And so part of our role is, how do we provide those services people need in the very most cost-effective way that we can, to the highest degree of quality? And somehow that's gotten lost in all of our conversation about, where do you stand on building a wall?
Right. All right. So I've said this before on the show, but because you're here, I'm going to say it again and ask you how you feel about it. I believe that America, for most of its history, was a three country.
Hmm. Okay.
Meaning it was a country that was forward thinking.
Yeah.
It was future oriented. It was a country that was all about, how can I do better than my parents did? It was very success oriented, mm-hmm. not necessarily in the negative sense of the word, but how can I be more successful than the people who came before me? I believe now that we have migrated more toward becoming an unhealthy six country, meaning we are more fear-based, we are more worst-case scenario thinkers, we pine for the past. I found it ironic that our current presidents, sort of mantra of let's make America great again, as if,
right?
Like I've always believed that nostalgia is a sin. It's great to be a person who appreciates the past, but nostalgia seems to me to imply this idea that the best days are behind us.
Right.
I think as a Christian and as an American, it's a much healthier thing to think the best days are ahead.
Right.
Right. Are ahead of us. So, what do you think? Have we moved to being a sixth country?
Actually, I think it's I haven't thought about that, but I think you nailed it. I think we are, and I'll say that I'll go further and say this. When we're responding out of fear, it's never good. I don't care whether it's in politics, your marriage, your career, whatever it is. It's just never good. And I think that, in particular, like I said, as believers, of all people, we should not be the people who are responding out of fear out there.
Mm-hmm.
We should be the people coming with this, assurance of things hoped for, that we know how this story plays out in the end. And so, in the middle of it, while we have a role to play, a job to do, and a way to be faithful, to have a faithful presence, it's responding out of fear is not going to me is not having a faithful presence. I'll just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's faithful presence, a term another person on that trip we went on, James Davidson Hunter, is
yes.
kind of, he's taken that and making it kind of his like. That's who we're supposed to be, people with a faithful presence.
Yes. And part of what's troublesome is if, and we always say this is speculation, if there are more sixes in the population than any other type, and those types tend to be much more concerned with issues around who's in charge.
Right.
And they're fearful.
Right.
And they're looking, like all sixes have what we would call a lust for certainty. Like they just want to know, they want to have a real sense of certainty. When those people get together en masse and they are looking for some kind of an authority figure that is saying, I'm the only person who can keep you safe.
Right.
Right. Well, that's a big red flag for a six. And when they vote en masse based on fear.
Right.
And also sixes, when they're not very healthy, develop a very strong us and them mentality.
Yeah.
And that's another reason, I think, to your point, it's never good when a big block of people is being motivated by fear.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I think the challenge for all of us, regardless of your numbers, how do we figure out how to walk into a situation like that and say that, like, reacting out of fear it's not the right thing to do, B, it's not going to get us anywhere, and here's a path that is a way for you to walk faithful. I have a question real quick. Do we have time for me to ask you a question?
Oh, man, sure we do.
So is it just threes, or do most people, when they read the section where you describe them in the book, say, he's being too hard on my number?
Yes.
It's just threes?
No.
Or is it everybody? Everybody feels like you're picking on their number?
Well, here's the reason why. I believe that people are most likely going to identify their type based on what they get wrong rather than on what they get right.
Yeah.
Every number is beautiful, but when you're in the process of trying to determine your type, it's easier because you'll look at it and go, oh yeah, that's my issues, And then you can learn about the fact that every number in its healthy expression is really fantastic,
Right.
So for a three, when you're in a good zone, right? It's no longer important for you to credentialize. It's no longer important for you to, I always laugh and go, when I met a three one time in Connecticut, and he was like in his 70s, which made it even sadder. He kept saying, back when I was in college in New Haven, and you were like, oh my gosh, why don't you just come right out and say it? You went to Yale,
You should have said, did you go to New Haven Community College too?
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. But they become much more interested in helping others succeed.
Right.
They are less interested in driving the bus, feeling compelled to being okay with being a bozo on the bus, another bozo on the bus. They are much more community minded. They don't have to lead the team. They're happy to be a support player on the team. So those kinds of, and I do mention some of that in the book, but also remember that your attention will migrate just to the stuff that's negative.
Yeah,
you'll miss the stuff that was said that was positive, right. You know? But as we all know, what makes the Enneagram kind of special is that it reveals that what's best about you is what's worst, and what's worst is also what's best, right? And so that's the reason why. Also, I would say that twos, threes, and fours, more than any other numbers, because they're in the shame triad, when they read material about themselves that's, you know, difficult, tend to respond more viscerally than other types.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Where do people learn about what's next for you?
First of all, they can just email me and tell me what's... No, I'm trying to figure that out. You know,
do you have a website yet? You have Instagram?
I have an Instagram, but I'm not fully using it. We've been out of office almost exactly a year. Mm. And it's been an incredible year for us just to do it. And we found that life feels full with lots of things that we're involved in. We're trying, like everybody else, and I guess like a three would, the healthy part of me of a three says, you know, you want to be like that, the fourth kind of seed that fell on the good soil and produced 100x or 60 or 100 times or 60 times. And so Christy and I are trying to figure out, okay, what's that look like for this last piece of our life. And I've loved being in political office. I don't know if I'll do it again. If I don't, like I said, right now, I don't have something like that I'm saying, oh yeah, I'm going to run for this. But I've loved that. But, you know, we also have figured out there's a whole lot of ways that we think we can use the things that God's taught us over the last 60 years.
Yeah. Well, Annie and I sure love the Haslams.
We've really had, it's fun. I'm gonna tell one story on you. So this is one of the things that I appreciate about you and Ann. I think you all have figured out a way to use a wide variety of gifts and talents in a lot of different ways. I was in a conversation one time at a meeting, and I'm talking to four people, and somehow somebody brings up Ian Cron, and I go, I know Ian, and somebody says, how do you know him? And I say, and then. So I asked each one of them, and each one of them knew you from a different place in life. Well, he was on Young Life staff back in Connecticut. Oh, no, he was the priest at my church. Oh, no, he was so-and-so. And all of them, though, there was a consistent thread wound through there of ways that you had touched their lives in different ways. And so, Chrissy, I appreciate that. I have one last question. Is it just us, or does everybody wonder how you got in?
That's pretty much everybody.
I thought so.
That's great.
Our house does.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Man, will you come back and be with us?
I'd love to. Thanks for having me. It's fun. It's been for, I get everybody needs to, but particularly for folks like me that don't grow up thinking a lot about what our feelings are and where they came from and what's driving us. This is really helpful.
Yeah. Well, love to Chrissy and to the kids, and I will take you up on it and call you back.
Deal.
All right. Enneagram Typology listeners, Enneagram fans, thanks for listening to Typology this week. Please remember the words of the great Oscar Wilde, be yourself.
Everybody else is already taken.
Love it.
's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.